Good morning to you all, and welcome to our service for the third Sunday in Advent. The prayer for the day. God, for whom we watch and wait, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of your Son. Give us courage to speak the truth, to hunger for justice, and to suffer for the cause of right, with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news of the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. I wonder if you know the definition of joy, or the word rejoice. It's words that we don't always use in today's context. We might use the word happiness or delight or something quite similar, but I don't really remember using the word joyful to describe how I'm feeling. For example, when Arsenal women won 4-0 last Saturday afternoon, I was joyful. Did I rejoice? Yes, Laura will attest to that, that I was extremely happy and jumped up and down quite a lot every time a goal went in. But I wouldn't use the term rejoice to describe that. We've seen on this week in the news with Syria, with Syrians rejoicing in the overthrow of the Assad government, and people are able to return home from where they fled. We have seen them rejoicing on the streets, rejoicing that life might return to some sort of normality for them. And today, third Sunday of Advent, is known as Gaudete Sunday. And today we've lit the pink candle on our Advent wreath. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice, and it's a marker that we're halfway through Advent. And in that moment, we can be joyful, and we can rejoice in the anticipation of the birth of Jesus that we know is coming. And as always, in the English language, words have different meanings depending on the context that you use them in. So the best way I decided to find out what these words meant was to look in a dictionary, or a dictionary online. Joy is a feeling of complete happiness, something or someone that makes you feel happy. And rejoice, the definition, is that you're very pleased about something and you show it in your behaviour. You're glad, you're happy, you delight in. Again, I still wouldn't use joy or rejoice. I would use the word happy in everyday thought and speech. Yet our readings today, on the third Sunday of Advent, we have a song of joy from Zephaniah, and we have Paul in his writings to the Philippians telling them to rejoice always. So Zephaniah was alive in the 7th century BC and was a contemporary of Jeremiah. He was alive and he was writing before the exile happened. The book of Zephaniah is all about judgment and about how God is going to judge his people. However, the last chapter, chapter 3, he writes a song of joy. A day that is coming when God's judgment has passed and how God will reside in the midst of his people. There's a sense of renewal, a sense of restoration, and with that comes joy. We heard earlier, sing aloud, shout, rejoice, for the Lord your God is in your midst. Do we do that? Do we sing with joy in our hearts? When we sing the words of our hymns and later on today, carols? When we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Do we think about what we sing and what we're saying? Or has it just become something we know so well? We just say the words. And this passage reminded me about the Advent hymn we sang back on Advent 1 a couple of weeks ago. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And although Zephaniah isn't writing while they're in exile, it's pointing to a time when they can rejoice, when God will be with them. A group called the Piano Guys have arranged this Advent hymn. And if you get time later, just have a Google for it. But they describe it as, the only way I can describe it for the first verse is that it is haunting, because they've slowed it right down and just played the first verse with just a cello. It's almost like there's a lone voice calling out for God to come and save them. But rejoice, because God is coming. Rejoice in the anticipation that God will be in our midst. And as with all Bible passages, we need to think about the context in which it was written, which is very different to the context today. Israel today is very different to the Israel back in the 7th century when Zephaniah wrote. And the conflicts that are continuing in that area, I think, need to be looked at with a lens of stopping all human suffering, regardless of where they are from and cultural backgrounds. But the theme rejoice carries on into the New Testament, and it's found 31 times the word rejoice in our English translations. Luke has 6 mentions, which I think pretty much are the Christmas story, which we'll hear later on this evening. And then, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he also has 6 mentions of the word rejoice, 2 of which are in our reading today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Which is easy to do when life is good and things are going well, but maybe not so easy to do when someone you love has died, or life is hard going and tough. How do you then rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice, as I said earlier, is being very pleased about something, and you show it in your behaviour. You're glad, you're happy, you delight in. Being able to rejoice in the Lord always is about knowing that God is in control and having that confidence that he is in our midst, guiding us and being with us throughout all things. I was struck on Wednesday as we were reading morning prayer that even morning prayer for Advent has rejoice within it. We're encouraged to rejoice. In the opening prayer it says, as we look for your coming among us this day. Open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. And then a bit later on, something that we say every day, regardless of the season, in morning prayer. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Morning prayer invites us to rejoice in the day that we have been given and all that it will bring, which is underpinned by that sure and certain faith that we have in God. In his 2014 Gaudete Sunday homily, Pope Francis said that this Sunday is known as the Sunday of joy, and that instead of fretting about all that they still haven't done in preparation for Christmas, people should think of all the good things that life has given you. So take a moment. What good things do you have in your life at the moment? What good things has God given you? So on this third Sunday of Advent, let us rejoice in all that we have as we look with anticipation towards the coming of God in our midst. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.